Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and thank you so much for joining me on this Friday edition of Exposed But Never Forgotten. And yes, indeed, although we are exposed by the evil in today's world, we are never, ever forgotten by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you happen to catch our opening song, Circle of Friends, I surely indeed would like to thank my circle of friends here at the Patriot Family and elsewhere, including Facebook, that have joined us. And many of our listeners have listened to our program in the archives, which are available 15 minutes after this program is finished, and we will have somewhere between a 60-minute and a 90-minute program this evening. I would especially like to thank Patriot Family for allowing me this time every week to share the Word of God. And tonight's topic is, I believe, a very, very special topic, and one that we probably all, including myself, can learn something from. And we do have a special guest this evening as well. My wife is here with me this evening, and she will be joining in on the conversation. Hi, Sandy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
She's doing good. Okay. I think maybe just a short 2-minute song may put us in the right frame of mind for tonight's topic, prayer, the great adventure. So we'll be back in 2 minutes to start our topic. Please enjoy this version of the Lord's Prayer. Never forgotten by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am your host, Michael, along with my co-host this evening, my wife, Sandra. And we appreciate her being with us here this evening. Tonight's message is about prayer. I think that prayer may be one of the most important things in our relationship with Jesus Christ, because it is available to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at any time. So it is an awesome thing to have that available to us. I'd like to start out with what we are going to start out with. You can find in your King James Bible, which is the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And we're going to take a brief look at this and what these words actually mean. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the Lord's Prayer, as you can find in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And if we look at the first sentence of that prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, we need to always acknowledge first and foremost in our relationship with Jesus Christ who it is that we are talking to and put him first. He, God, is our Heavenly Father. We address him with respect just as we should address our earthly father with respect. He is the only true God who created all things in this universe, including ourselves. He loves us, and we need to show our love and respect for him. And welcome Yola into our chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. Also in verse 9, we have, Hallowed be your name. We must see God as being holy, because he is. Sanctified, consecrated, worthy of our praise, our honor, and our glory. In verse 10, we read in the Lord's Prayer, Your kingdom come. We acknowledge the Lord is coming. His kingdom is coming. We pray that Christ will soon return and establish his earthly kingdom where we will reign with him for eternity. Also in verse 10, we read, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, we need to be praying for God's will to be done in our lives. Not our own will, but God's will. So that we may bring him glory here on earth. And then he is also glorified by us in heaven. We need to do things his way instead of selfishly doing our own things to satisfy our own desires. And when you break that down, that is exactly what that means. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In verse 11, we read, Give us today our daily bread. And I know many people do not even think about maybe where their food comes from, or their gas, or their needs, of which all of these things could be considered our daily bread, our daily needs. We should ask when we pray every day to our Father to provide us our needs, just as he promised in his holy word. His word says that we don't have because we don't ask. And it's only through our prayer that we can ask God. We need to remember to ask God for what it is in our life, and not just repetitively say the Lord's Prayer over and over, but to ask Him for what it is, to have a personal relationship. And of course, we must first know God through His Son, our personal Lord and Savior. If we don't know Christ, God won't acknowledge this request for daily provision. We must be a member. I am a child of God. My wife beside me is a child of God. And our Father in heaven is God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12 of the Lord's Prayer, we read, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." What this really speaks about is about forgiveness. It speaks about forgiveness among our associates, our neighbors, our friends, our family, and our loved ones. Because we are human, we are not perfect. And it's hard sometimes being human to be able to forgive someone on the spur of the moment. And sometimes there are even steps that we go through when we go through forgiveness. And although this topic is on prayer, I'll just skip aside for a second and to talk about forgiveness is something that there are several steps that we go through that many people may not realize. And one of the first steps in forgiveness is when somebody hurts us, when they do something to us, we feel anger. And we also feel hurt. But we need to remember that forgiveness is the key to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, because He has forgiven us for all of our sins. He has the patience. He has the love. He has the understanding. And all of these things are unconditional because they come from God. Anyway, getting back to prayer, you know, any and all of the persons in our lives that we come in contact with in social or even business situations are included as well. If we cannot forgive others, how can we expect our Heavenly Father to forgive us? We must spend time praying. We must spend time in God's Word. We must try to be righteous and as godlike as we can. This is what God desires in us. Because although we are born again with the Holy Spirit of God, we still live with a fleshly body. And sin being all around us, it is easy at times to be deceived. So we need to remember. And speaking of deception, verse 13 in Mark chapter 6, 9 through 13 says, "Lead us not into temptation." And we need to ask our Heavenly Father to help us recognize every evil thing that we come into that attacks us, that is around us. Every temptation that is before us. We need help to stay focused on our Heavenly Father and see the evil that we might fall into. For what it is, really is a trap set by Satan to bring us down to his level. Satan's greatest feat, as we all know, is to deceive people into thinking that he does not even exist. But as Christians, we know that Satan is the leader of all evil. And someday soon, Christ will come back and he will take charge of that. Following up on verse 13, but deliver us from the evil one. Help us, dear Father, to steer clear of that liar and deceiver. Let us see clearly the path that you want each of us to walk by. You gave us something special, Lord, when we turned our life over to you, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. May we never stray from your will and way, Lord Jesus, because you are the truth and the way and the light. Finishing up with this on 13, not finishing up on our show, but on verse 13 of Matthew 6, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Some commentators believe that the end of the Lord's Prayer was added by someone other than the original writer. And I guess that's possible. I do not know for sure. But whether that's true or not, this last phrase emphasizes even more praise and more glory to God, our Heavenly Father. So it is absolutely biblical. And I must add, a very glorious ending to the Lord's Prayer. Now, there is a problem here that we have yet to look at. Have you ever felt like your prayers are hitting the ceiling when you pray? And that God isn't hearing them? That they're hitting the ceiling and going no further? The Bible is pretty clear that there are hindrances to prayer in praying. So I want to take a look at a few scriptures in God's Word, the Holy Bible, and what it says about effective prayer and ineffective prayer. And I am hoping that maybe something here will touch someone and that their prayers may become far more effective. Some of the reasons why we have an ineffective prayer, why our prayers may be hitting the ceiling and going no further. One of those is unconfessed sin. When there is sin in the life of a believer, it creates a barrier in your fellowship between yourself and God. Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear."
Okay. In unconfessed sin, I always understood you can always ask God to forgive you every day in every prayer. But what I always have considered or grow up to believe in unconfessed sin is that because we do have a sinful nature, we do have a tendency to slip back into our old nature on occasion. We do not believe it takes away our salvation, but it does allow God to keep God from hearing us. And unconfessed sin, I truly believe, I don't know what you think, but it's if you continue in that sin. You can ask God to forgive you every time, but if you continue in it, are you really meaning for God to forgive you? It's easy to say, forgive me. But we need to try to keep from slipping back into that sin we ask God to forgive us for.
You're exactly right, Sandra. You know, it's like if we're going to, you know, pray and ask God to forgive us from, you know, throwing a rock through the window, and we go out every morning because we dislike our neighbor, and we throw a rock through his window. Well, that's not effective prayer. It's not effective.
It's like saying, God, forgive me, but I got to throw a rock through my neighbor's window.
Absolutely. And
thinking he'll forgive you each time you throw a rock.
Yeah, and I can only pray for the salvation of Ernest T. Bass, if anyone knows who that gentleman is. he was, I'm not sure if he's still living, but he was the rock thrower on the Andy Griffith Show. And not to change topics here, but I love the Andy Griffith Show, and it wasn't until as of recent that I really came to understand what it is that I love about that show so much. And it is because Andy Griffith is almost always in his program helping someone, and I think that's what makes me love that show so much. Something else that can cause ineffective prayer is something that we just touched on a little bit, but living in the flesh as we are. When we begin our relationship with Christ, we do receive a new nature, and that is the Holy Spirit. Even so, that nature resides in the old flesh. And sometimes we forget and we give control over to our old nature. Because of sin, we are not perfect, which is why we need to repent and ask God for the forgiveness of our sins. The flesh is sinful, and believers in Jesus Christ are reminded, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You can find that in Romans 8, verse 13. Living in the flesh is another hindrance to prayer. Another hindrance in prayer is failure to spend time in God's Word. How much time do we spend? Do you spend 5 minutes a day with your Bible, learning and trying to strengthen your relationship with God. We can go outside for a cigarette. We can run to the store. We can have a cup of coffee. We can take 5 minutes for this and 5 minutes for that. Surely, we can find it in our hearts if we say we are Christians to take that 5 minutes a day and just read a few verses in the Bible. Don't you think, Sandra?
Yes, and this one is a really hard one to follow, especially if you're a really, really busy person. I have a tendency to have a job that keeps me very, very busy. I'm going from home to home. I'm taking care of a lot of people. And sometimes I have a tendency to, I just don't have the time. I get up early in the morning and I go to bed late at night. And I have a hard time finding that time sometimes. Michael helps me in that because he plays a lot of things in the morning and he's constantly talking about things. And it also helps me to also turn on and have a radio station on that's like in a Bible station. So that every time I get in the car, it's there. So that I either have music or something. And God seems to have a way of sending you the right messages. He seems to be able to find that time and use that time when he knows that you're a busy person. So there are ways to get around it. And this is a very busy time for everybody. I mean, we're a busy time of life. Everybody's got to go somewhere, get somewhere, do something. So if you take that time, it really does bless you.
I think what you just told me, Sandra, is that when you spend time with God, whether it's in His Word, whether it's listening to Him on the radio, that the closer you get to God, is it not the closer that He becomes to you as well? Is that a correct statement, do you think?
Yes, but also I think that in my line of work, I have found that a lot of people see this in me, and we are known by our fruits. And so I'm finding sometimes that, because I take care of a lot of elderly and sometimes hospice patients, and I'm also finding that a lot of them seem to be asking me questions. So I think, wow, they must see something because they're asking me about heaven or about God. And so it's important to stay in tune with God so that other people can see that in you, too. Because you never know when it comes to the point that somebody may need to ask you something. And I'm not allowed to actually say and come right out and start speaking to people about God in my line of work. That's in my contract. It's illegal. But if somebody asks me, then I am allowed to answer the question.
Well, what a blessing that is for sure, because I know how much time you spend with elderly people, and I'm sure that many of them come across questions, and many of them are even close to the end of their lives, and they're not sure what is going on, so that's a blessing that they are able to see, you know, God's love within you, that during your work, that the things that you do and how you act, these people feel confident enough to be able to ask you. And that's why it is critically important to spend time in God's Word, to, you know, listen to Him, His Word on, you know, the radio, on the Internet, so that we may become knowledgeable in God's Word, because there will come a time, I assure you, that you will need to share this with somebody in your life. And upon adding to that, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 says, and this is in regards to failure to spend time in God's Word. But Proverbs says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the Word of God, then even his prayers are not heard. So this is just another example of ineffective prayer. God bless you, Yola, and thank you for stopping in. Take care of yourself and get some rest, hon. I apologize for that. I have to say goodbye to someone in our chat room there who is not feeling as well as she should. But many blessings to you, Yola. Some other reasons that we may have ineffective prayer may be our motives in praying. You know, motivation in prayer is very, very important. When your prayers are selfishly motivated, I can assure you that it will hinder the link in your prayer between yourself and God. James, in the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 3, says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Your prayers should not be focused on fulfilling your own selfish desires. Misunderstanding of prayer. The Bible, you know, clearly explains that prayer isn't about getting God to bend his will into our will. Instead, prayer is about cooperating with God and abandoning our desires and submitting to God's will. John chapter 5, 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Another hindrance in effective prayer with God is the indifference to the needs of others. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of us should look not only to our own interests, but so much more to the interests of others. When we are indifferent to the needs of others, we can expect our prayers to be hindered. And many times, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can feel that. If someone has done something and you have chose or you have not forgiven them, sometimes you can feel that. The Holy Spirit will allow you to feel that. And it is definitely something that needs to be, you know, corrected. We need to put other people first in our lives as well and not think so much of ourselves.
You're right. And this is something that I probably st- struggle with probably more of myself, for myself, than anything. When I come home, I kind of like Michael to spend all his attention and time and everything on me. I go out, my work is helping others. I got to do this for every, I got to cook for people. I got to take people where they want to go. I have to give them showers, and I give them everything they need, and I'm constantly waiting on people and waiting on people all day long. And I come home and I think, I start to have a selfish look, and I expect Mike to wait on me sometimes. And I always find that if we wait on each other, I get much more. He's much more willing. And he spoils me. He really does. He spoils me. And sometimes it makes me want to be even more spoiled. But
well, I think the feeling is mutual there. And come this April, Sandra and I will have been married for 10 years. And it seems that any time in life that when you are enjoying what you are doing, that the time goes by so quickly. And I must say, this past 10 years with Sandy has been such a blessing in my life, and it has gone by like it has been 1 year. And we just help each other in everything that we do, in trying the best that we can, you know, and putting God first, obviously, but beyond that, you know, it is to put either our husband or our wife, and then our children next after God, but always keeping God first. Another thing that may cause ineffective prayer is doubt and unbelief. And the Lord says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Your confidence should be in God's ability to answer your prayers in accordance with his will. And we need to always remember to put God first. And I can tell you, God is alive and well, because he works in my life every single day. He works in my wife's life every single day. He works in people that I know are spirit-filled Christians who love God. And the closer you get to him, the closer he will get to you. It is such an important relationship. There is nothing on earth that can ever come as close to having that relationship as you can have with God. And yes, I will be getting to a remedy to everything that I have said here in just a moment. Family problems is another thing that can cause your prayers to not be as effective as you would like them or God would like them. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect, as they also are heirs with you of the gracious gift through Jesus Christ of life. Do this so that nothing will hinder your prayers. And this last one, many people take for granted. Now, I remember growing up, and I may have been 5 or 6 or 7, I'm not sure, maybe even a little bit younger, but my mother would sit on the bed next to me, and every night we would say the Lord's Prayer, and she taught it to me. And eventually it got to the point where she did not need to help me with it any longer, and I was able to say it on my own, although she was there, sitting on the edge of my bed, making sure that I said the Lord's Prayer. One thing I think we need to be very, very concerned with here, in having effective prayer, is what is called vain repetition. And this is the last one on our list before we come to the remedy. Vain repetition. And you can find this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And it says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of the many words that they speak." The Lord's Prayer, I do not believe, was meant to be repetitiously prayed over and over and over. It is given as a guideline, as we broke down earlier at the beginning of this program. We broke down what the Lord's Prayer really means. And I guess I could give you an example here of how I pray when I pray. I don't say the Lord's Prayer. I am a spirit-filled, born-again Christian. I have a personal relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit dwells within me. And I speak to God several times a day. And in doing that, I do not repeat over and over the Lord's Prayer. I often, though, do start my prayers with Heavenly Father, because I know He is in heaven. And the second part of the Lord's Prayer says, "Who art in heaven?" It says, "Hallowed be your name." So I may say, "Heavenly Father, I praise your name, because hallowed be your name." Hallowed is the word that means worthy of praise. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you for what it is that you do in our lives, God. We thank you for the sacrifices that you have made. We thank you for loving us unconditionally, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the love that you show us every day, for the patience that you have, in your ability, Lord, through your love and the forgiveness that you give us when we ask of the sins that we have committed, Lord, because we are in the flesh here still. And although we love you greatly, Lord Jesus, we still need to remember that we are human beings in the flesh, and we are not perfect, and someday we will, when we are with you, Lord Jesus. So, having a personal relationship with God and praying to Him from your heart, rather than with vain repetition, is a very, very important thing. Now, finally getting on to the remedy. How is it that we can take all of the things that I previously said, probably in the last half hour, the things that cause ineffective prayer, hindrances, if you may, to prayer? What is the remedy? All hindrances to prayer can be remedied by confession of one's sins and repentance. God doesn't want your prayers to be hindered. He wants his prayers to go straight through from you to him in an instant. And many times, depending on your relationship with Christ, he will know in advance your heart and what it is that you know. God desires an intimate fellowship with his children and for the lines of communication to remain open. And proof of that is John 1. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I shall pray for all of my brothers and sisters in Christ that the message this evening has touched your heart, and that your prayers may continue or become the effective prayers between you and the Lord. We are going to take a short break here and play a 3-minute song called Awesome God, and it is an awesome song. We'll be back with Exposed But Never Forgotten after this musical message.
Oh, when he rose up the seas, the angels putting on the wrist.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist. Wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
The night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Awesome God, he
are back on this Friday edition of Exposed But Never Forgotten, and we have been covering the topic about prayer, and I think for the most part we covered a whole lot of it. Sandra, is there anything else that you may want to share or add about prayer and your prayers to God?
Maybe not about prayer right now, but have you ever shared with your personal testimony about how you came to know the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
But could you want to share it again?
You want to share it again? Well, I can
could share mine after yours if you like.
It doesn't matter.
Mine's completely different than yours.
We have two different instances here. My wife would like me to share how I met the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I can do that. And I can tell you beforehand now, because my memory is not the greatest, I can tell you that I am not sure how it is, how my wife, Sandra, met the Lord. But let's start off with mine. When I was about 17 years old, I found out about this delightful beverage called alcohol. And I started to drink. And over the course of just a year or two, I had become dependent upon alcohol, and it caused enough problems in my life that I think the Lord was looking down at him, or somebody was saying prayers for me, whatever the case may be, but the Lord said, that boy needs to spend 4 months in the Marquette County Jail. And indeed, I did go and spend 4 months in the Marquette County Jail. And for those of you who have ever been in jail, there's not a whole lot to do. There's not a whole lot of good people in there to have a relationship with. So fortunately, back then, we had a Bible, or one was brought to me, but I spent my days, I spent my nights, and over the course of that 4 months, I read the Bible through twice, and I came to give my heart and my soul to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it has been a learning experience, even through all of those years. Now, that happened when I was 18, and I am now 57, and it is still a growing and learning experience, and it will be, I am sure, until the end of my time. And Sandra, I am curious if you would refresh my memory on how you met the Lord. But many times, it seems like there is something substantial that happens in our lives that urges us in one way, shape, or form to turn to our Lord and Savior and get to know him. So, Sandra, if you would, please share.
Mine wasn't as the same. I lived a very different lifestyle than Michael did. Michael was raised Episcopalian. Nothing wrong with that. They teach the Bible, but probably not in the same way that I was raised in. I was raised Baptist, very strict Baptist. And my parents, we went to church. We were there on Sunday morning. We were there on Sunday night. We were there at every meeting. We were there at Wednesday nights. We were there on Thursday nights. We were there every time the church doors were open. My parents took us kids, and we were there from the time I was a baby, time I was born. We were there. My mom taught us the word. We had devotions every morning. We were the Sunday school. We were there. And so I grew up in knowing Bible verses, songs, praise choruses, you name it, I knew it. I knew it like the back of my hand. I knew everything. But to have a personal relationship with God sometimes can be harder to come to really know God and to have that personal relationship with Him. And I remember going through junior church, and for some odd reason we had this really large guy that loved to preach to us little junior church kids how fire and brimstone, and he'd thump on those things, and we had these kids that were brought in by the bus, and he'd be preaching, and he'd scare us. He'd scare me anyway. And about 10, 20 of us kids would always be going back to the back little room to get saved every Sunday. And not only that, but I wanted to be extra good and extra careful, because this guy was big and scary to me. And I remember it was Mom that brought me to the Lord, but I thought I was getting saved every Sunday. And, because these Bible school, because these kids were coming in the church bus, and they didn't have parents there, and they were naughty little boys, and one of his punishments was to have put these little boys, and he would, when they would get naughty, he would have their little heads sticking out between his knees, and I was so scared that I was going to end up between this guy's knees if I was naughty, so... Yeah, no spanking. Oh. No spanking. You just had to, while he was going and thumping and preaching, his little head was stuck between his knees. Just standing there. Just, I didn't want to be as, and I never realized that he only did that with boys. But one lady in the church told my mom that I was going back every Sunday to get saved. And my mom at that point explained to me, you don't need to get saved every time. You only need to ask God once and live a Christian life. And she showed me in scripture. And I was at that point, it was probably at home, that I came to know the Lord as my Savior. So I've been a saved since a really young child. I was about 8. But
so if there was one thing that you could attribute to you turning your life over to Jesus Christ, what would you say that is from what you just mentioned?
Attribute my life to knowing Jesus Christ, to making a more or a personal relationship. I think it was a combination of things, you know. Well, first, I was doing it out of fear. But that isn't what really actually made me saved. I think it's actually what made me the personal relationship with Christ was when a lady from the church told my mother, and my mother showed me from Scripture in a calm and gentle way. She showed me from Scripture of how to be saved and have a personal relationship with Christ. Probably watching my parents, too. But I thought it was the norm. I didn't get into alcohol. I didn't get in. We were not allowed to dance. And we were not allowed to go to movies. And my mom didn't raise us up on any of this stuff. And like I said, we were in church every time. So this was just a normal way of life for me. You know, but so to become a personal, for God to become personal to you was a little bit less life-changing probably than it was for Michael.
Well, I think that you were saved, that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He had a plan for your life. And as I look around your life, your past life, your current life, I see how that fits into your life and the blessings of others, as well as the blessings that you receive from God for having loved and put your faith in God and having kept up your prayers with God. Besides being able and going out there every day showing, you know, our love to other people, you know, to showing them that we can do something for them, that we do not have to come first when it comes to this human life. You know, prayer is the lifeline between God and ourselves, is it not?
Yes, I believe so. But I also see there's a passion and a fire for the Lord that is different in Michael with his back experience than there is in mine. Not that I don't have passion, not that I don't have love, I do. But his is more of a different type of fire. Mine's a steady burning and always has been. And I see his just like, I don't know how to explain it. It is just so different.
It is different indeed, and I don't think that God wanted two people to be alike any more than there are two snowflakes that could ever be alike. And, I have more time that I can spend, you know, reading in the Bible, and that still does not mean that I know as much, because I still learn an awful lot from you, Sandra. When we have our topics here about Jesus Christ and sharing, you know, God's word together, there many, many times there's things that I cannot remember or do not know that my wife reminds me of. So that is a true blessing.
Well, that's true. I grew up with the Bible stories that you didn't grow up with. You know, the Bible trivia, I can probably beat him hands down if you talk about Bible trivia. But personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he has a wonderful passion and strong fire. And I have that, but it's my, God came softly and gently more into my life, whereas he came rip-roaring into Michael's to get his attention.
That's very true, Rod. In our chat room, you both had needs, and by placing you together, God satisfied both. And I do believe that Sandra is a gift to me from God. And, you know, if I wanted to take 30 minutes here, which I won't, I could tell you that the odds were great against me not meeting Sandra. It had everything to do with God and nothing to do with man. God did give me this blessed woman. And Rod says that he knows that God gave him his wife as well. And I know how blessed you must feel, Rod, that you had so many years to spend with your wife. We need to remember that, again, that to stay close to God, prayer is the messenger that we need to use. We can talk to God anytime, just like I am speaking with you now, but put Him first. Put Jesus Christ first in your life and get close to God, because I've said it before and I'll keep on saying it, the closer that you become to God through reading His word, through prayer, the closer he will come to you. And he is very, very much alive and well. I cannot tell you how much and how often he works in our lives on a daily basis. And I turn around in awe in thinking. And it gives me more, even more, to pray about in thanking my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the things that he has done in our lives. I want to take a few minutes here. We've got about 20 minutes left, and I want to change the topic to something. How is it that we as Christians, as spirit-filled Christians, born-again Christians, saved by Christ, how is it that we should act in today's world? God says that he loves everybody. Although not everybody is a child of God, not everybody is part of his family, God still loves everybody. And we are expected to be as righteous as we can be and to love everyone as we can be and to forgive those people who have sinned against us. We need to be godlike. It is very important. So how is it that we should act against people that we look at today in our world? There are many people I can think of that I could put on, if I wanted to, a hate list. Many people that are within our United States, and I'm not going to list departments or preferences, but you all know who I am speaking about. There are many, many people, because we see before us the destruction of America. And there is a show called Armed and Dangerous by Army Girl for Christ and Unituber. And they do their show Wednesday evenings. And I could tell you, but they can tell you much, much better. And I played this on my special edition last Saturday, but I am going to play it again because I think it is worth listening to. If you want to know how it is that you should feel and you should act and how you should represent God every day and with everyone, then this is the clip that you need to hear. This is Army Girl for Christ and Unituber from Truth Radio Net.
Well, I don't know what to think anymore at this point, other than we have to fall back on our faith. Everything is just a haze for me today, yesterday, the day before, but just the past couple of days. There's been so much information coming in, it's like an overload. Mm-hmm. There's such an encroachment on our rights, and we're not just talking, I'm not just talking about guns. There's such an encroachment on our rights in general, not under the Constitution, and God knows how much I support and uphold the Constitution, but we are Christians who belong to a different kingdom. We have a higher contract that guarantees our rights, and that's the Word of God. And I have all this information coming in via emails, via YouTube, via Facebook, via my cell phone, constantly getting bombarded. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? And my brain is fried. I try to look at some of this stuff, and there's so much repetition, which is good because I understand the validity of what they're saying. I understand that this is coming to pass in my lifetime. I get that. But what I'm struggling with is
the fact that people are getting up in arms and in a flurry of patriotism are stating things like, well, we need to rise up against this government and not let them do this to us, and one thing after another. And I'm thinking to myself, is that what we're supposed to be doing as Christians? Are we supposed to be rebelling against the government?
Well,
I don't believe we are.
I think what happens with this is that what we are supposed to be doing is to be studying the Word and really going into prayer, seeking God for what His will is for our life, and interceding for our families and friends, sharing the gospel when the opportunity comes and God leads us to do that. You know, keep continuing to grow spiritually so that we get stronger every day. You know, and so all of this stuff coming at us can be distractions to pull us away. If you really, I mean, we're all guilty of, you know, not spending enough time in the Word and really listening to God, being quiet before Him and just staying in His peace. The world, you know, it kind of reminds me of when Jesus was in the boat and the disciples were in the boat and the storm came up and it was just, you know, the boat was just going all over the place and they thought they were surely going to die. And Jesus wasn't even concerned about it. You know, He got up and just said, be still. That's all He had to say. I mean, the storm was calm with His authority. And, you know, He wondered, what is wrong with you guys, He says. You know, where's your faith? I mean, He is the one that we have got to have in our lives first and foremost. No matter what, He has to be first. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, the first commandment is that He says, you will have no other God before me. He is a jealous God, meaning that He wants to be first in our life. He wants us to make Him our first love, to make Him our priority, and then to get that help, to get that strength, to get that joy and peace and all from Him first. And then once we're right vertically, then we can go out and be vertical with all of our family, friends, coworkers, whoever we are around. And, you know, then we're really doing something for God's kingdom because we've got to stay plugged in to Him. And it's a challenge because all of these things pull us away from that still small voice that speaks to us in different ways. And just to be quiet, turn off all of the junk around you. Every bit, you know, there's so much sound pollution everywhere.
Right.
It's almost unheard of just to be quiet. What? And, you know, to just sit in God's presence is healing in itself, just to be quiet. You know, I don't remember the scripture. It's in Psalms, I think, 40. I used to know it. In fact, I've got a cup that a friend of mine gave, but it's, be still and know that I am God. That's how we know what we know, what we know inside, is that when we get quiet enough that He can, you know, there's all this other crap going on around us, and He just comes quietly and sits with us and is with us. And
so,
you know, He does speak, and He speaks to us in different ways, through His Word, through others, through radio shows like this, through music, through nature, through circumstances. You know, He guides and directs us and promises that if we will make Him first and lean on Him and not on our own understanding, that He will direct our paths. And I'm telling you, it's only going to be God showing us in these last days, this is where I want you to go. This is how I want you to be. This is what I want you to say. I mean, we've got to have those ears open to our leading. And that's what's going to get us through all this stuff. It's just ugly out there.
It is. And I have one raging question on the front of my mind. most of these people that are, you know, passing this information along to me, you know, claim to be Christian. And I'm not saying any of them are or aren't. You know, that's between them and God. But those of them who claim to be Christian, what I don't understand is why they're reacting this way. Why are they getting bent completely out of shape when we are told that these things are going to happen? When we are warned that these are the signs of the end times. It's like you said, we should be turning to prayer and preparing ourselves mentally and spiritually and physically to go through the coming times. There's no reason to get all up in arms and no pun intended, and get completely, you know, off kilter about everything that's going on, because we were told this is going to happen. Why is any of us surprised by what we're seeing going on in our government and in the world today? Why is this a shock to so many people?
That's so, so correct. And what the ladies are saying there, you know, why is it that we are surprised by what is going on in the world today? Why is it that any of this is a surprise to us? If you read God's Word, it is in there. It tells us that these are signs of the times. And the time is near, although no one knows the day or the hour, time is near. Christ will return. I urge you to accept Christ and have a personal relationship with Him. So, so vital. He offers a gift of eternal life to all that trust in His name. And He is surely worthy. From my experience, I just speak words I live. Holy Spirit and my relationship with Christ every single day. And there is no other relationship on earth. There's nothing that I could own. There's nothing that I could do that I would have, and that where I would get more satisfaction and feel more blessed than have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a hard thing to do. Look up John 3:16 and spend a little time in God's Word. Spend time praying to God, telling Him that you are of a sinful nature, because all of us are born into sin. Think about it. We are all born into sin. And we have a choice. We can accept Satan, can do nothing, or we can accept God, or we could be somewhere in between those. Myself, I like the relationship that I have most that I can get with God, because of the blessings that I get from Him, love that He gives me, and knowing that He's there 24/7 when I need someone to talk to. I'd like to thank everyone for joining me this evening. And minutes after this program has ended, you can go and listen to it in our archives on Blog Talk Radio. And in the search box, you can type in Patriot Family. The name of the program that you are listening to is Closed. You can also find programs here Monday through Friday on Family Radio Network. Please stop those other programs. Until next week. Thank you again so much for joining me, and many blessings be on you. And remember, Put God first in your life, and everything else will fall into place. God bless everyone. See you next week. Same time, same channel.
Wake up to the sunlight with your windows open. Don't hold in your anger or leave things unspoken. Wear your red dress, use your good dishes, make a big mess and make lots of wishes. And have what you want, but want what you have. And don't spend your life looking back. Turn up the music, turn it up loud. Take a few chances, let it all out. 'Cause you won't regret it, looking back from where you have been. It's not who you knew, not what you did, it's how you live. So go to the ball game, and go to the ballet, and go see your folks more than just on the holidays. Kiss all your children, and dance with your wife. Tell your husband you love him every night. And don't run from the truth, you can't get away. No, no. And just face it, and you'll be okay. Turn up the music, turn it up loud. Take a few chances, let it all out. 'Cause you nobody.